And with a strong voice, like you are just glad to be in the house on tonight, somebody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing. And hearing. And hearing by the word of God. All right, 1 John 5 and 4, go with me there. We're in our series entitled Forward Focus. And tonight, for a subtopic, I want to talk from the subject of setting your will to win. Setting your will to win. So regardless of the obstacles that you face, regardless of the challenges that are in front of you, you have to set your will to win. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God does what, class? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it is our faith that's going to cause us to overcome. It's our faith that's going to cause us to win. It is our faith that's going to cause us to be on top and not on the bottom. So you've got to really set your will to win. When we begin to understand salvation, the moment we give our lives to Jesus, our spirit man immediately becomes alive to God, right? But our soulish man has some work that needs to be done. That is why the Bible says that you have to learn how to renew your mind and change your way of thinking. And so my the soulish part has five components: my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. So when I get saved, immediately my spirit man becomes alive to God, but I have to begin to help and feed myself the word of God and learn the principles of the word of God to help my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotion, and my intellect line up with what God wants to do in my life. All right? And so, and this is something that does not happen overnight, but it happens over time. And so that is why it's important to read the Bible on a daily basis. That's important, why it's important to hear the word on a daily basis. That's why it's important to get on the prayer call on a daily basis. It's important to do all these things, because not only, watch this, am I feeding my spirit, but I'm renewing my mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so I've got to understand that. And so you've really got to get a revelation on this whole salvation thing and setting my will to win, because the people who win are the ones that set their will to win, because nothing just happens. You got it. People that win, it just didn't happen that they won. They planned to win. Does that make sense? And so you really have to get a revelation on that. Now, when I say a revelation, you know, that word is really simple. It's not anything deep. A revelation is simply an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension that bursts courageous action and confidence to live differently. And that is the key, that we've got to understand the word of God. And that's why Pastor teaches the word of God in a simplistic manner, so that you can understand it. So it's an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension. So I'm teaching it in a way that you can understand it. I teach my lessons in a way that teens can understand. I teach my lessons in a way that anybody can understand. And it, when you have this understanding or this comprehension, it bursts this courageous action and confidence to live differently. Why? Because I've got the word, faith has come alive in my heart, and I understand what I need to do. Does that make sense? All right, so regardless of any situation you may face, what really matters has not changed. Everybody say, what really matters, has not changed. And you got to learn how to talk to yourself and tell you what really matters has not changed. In trying, frustrating moments, you have to learn how to move past frustration and remind yourself what really matters has not changed. You got it. When somebody says something or gives you a bad report, or you know, you get something, you hear something that you don't want to hear, you got to remind yourself what really matters has not changed. You got it. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, what really matters has not changed. And what has not changed is the word of God. The word of God in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says that he always calls us to triumph and that he always calls us to win in Christ. And so you are anointed to win. All right, you are anointed to win. It's not, I don't feel like it, Pastor. It ain't about your feelings. You got it. You are anointed to win because you've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. He has given you dominion. He has given you authority. God has given you everything that you need. And so what we have to do is, the first thing you have to do is believe it. Because if you don't, you know, everything takes place from belief. The moment I believe, then I can move from that. The writer says, we believe, therefore we speak. You got it? And faith is a two-sided coin. You got acting on one side. You got believing on the other. Believing is key. Believing is what separates the men from the boys, so to speak. I have to believe. And once I believe something, I can set my will to it. If I don't believe it, it's going to be hard for me to set my will to it. Does that make sense? So I have to believe. Everybody say, I must believe. All right, so now I want to take this whole belief part, you got it, this faith part, and mix it with this fact that you are anointed to win. I call it the glory factor. The glory factor, I'm not sure if I gave that to you. Yeah, I did. It is his anointing, his power, and his word that rests in me and causes me to triumph in any situation. And so when we say that the glory is on me, that means that his anointing is on me, that his power is on me, and that his word is on me, that is resting on me. And because, watch this, his anointing, his power, and his word, because of that, I can triumph in any situation. That's why the writer says, let the weak say let the poor say you got it, because watch this, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You got it? Anytime I step out on faith, it's never based on my ability, it's based on his ability. So even though I'm not able, it's okay because God is able. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so God is able. He's able to do anything that you need him to do, and he's able to do far above what you need him to do. But you have to believe that, and the moment you have to believe that, you have to set your will that I'm going to win. I have to believe that what really matters has not changed. I have to believe that God, his anointing, his power, and his word is already resting on me and giving me everything I need to triumph. And once I understand that, then anytime I move, it's not based. So I can get in faith on Monday for something, right? And you know how it is when you first get in faith, you're excited about it, isn't that right? You know, and you're like, okay, bless God, man, this is about, I call this, and this in the name of Jesus, and you're all excited, you're confessing, you know, by Thursday afternoon, if you haven't seen anything, if you're not careful, the enemy will try to come and throw these fiery darts and see, it ain't working, right? But you can't be moved by that because watch this, because it's not my anointing, it's not my power, and it's not my word, it's his anointing, his power, and his word that is, watch this, that is resting on me, that is going to cause me to triumph. If I stay in the fight, what's going to happen? I'm going to win, right? If I keep swinging, what's going to happen? I'm going to hit something, but guess what? I got to stay in the fight. Right? And so once I understand that, then I set my will. Once belief has taken place, then I set my will to win. I set my will to win. And then when I do that, that's why the writer says, nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. That's why the writer says, don't be weary in well-doing, Galatians 6 and 9. For in due season you shall do what? Reap if you don't faint or if you don't quit. You got it? And so that is the key. You have to learn how that no matter what comes, that no matter what it looks like, now I am going to win. So, Pastor, what do you do when you're believing for something? You got it. You've got your faith on it, but it's taking some time, right? But you notice that your faith is beginning to diminish. That is that's something that people ask me all the time. And faith comes how? By hearing, right? How is faith released? All right, so get this. If I'm by myself, the best thing for me to do is begin to confess what the word of God says concerning my situation. You got to get this. Faith is released by the words of my mouth. Faith cometh by hearing. What you don't realize is when you're confessing something out loud, you're making two things happen at one time. Because when I'm confessing, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I curse that pain. I don't care what the doctor said. You understand? And I thank you, Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. So I declare I'm not the sick trying to get healed, but I'm the healed resisting sickness and disease. Watch this. Faith is being released. Watch this. But because I'm saying it out loud, I'm hearing what I say. And faith is also coming, and it's increasing my faith. So I'm saying it, and I'm releasing faith, and I'm saying the right thing, but I'm hearing it that's causing my faith to increase at the same time. Does that make sense? So that's what you do. So that is why I tell you, you got to keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says. When you don't feel like it, you got to keep saying what the word says. You know, and we all get frustrated. Isn't that right? Yeah, but even in your frustrated moments, you got to have a conviction to say what the Word of God says regardless, because faith is being released and faith is coming at the same time. Isn't that good? All right, so let's talk about this glory factor just a little bit. Now, we said the glory was what? His anointing, right? His power and his word that's at rest on you that calls you to triumph in any situation, right? All right, so when we read this, I want you to see it in the scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 9. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 9. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." Watch this. Now, before I go any further, yeah, this is good. You know, it ain't in my lesson, but let me just give this to you. Watch this. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." This is the same light that the Bible teaches us in the book of John when the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among him. In him was life, and that life was the light of man." You got it? And remember, the Bible says that the light, watch this, would shine on the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. This is the same light, all right? And so now understanding that, "For God, who commanded this light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." All right. So he is the light. Right. All right. Y'all, was that little boy when you sing, "Walking in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright." Y'all remember that song? What's the next part? "Shining all around me, Jesus, the light of the world." You got it. Now, see, back in those days, anybody was allowed to sing. You ain't had to be on the right pitch. No, I'm just saying, like, we made it work in those days. Because, you know, you have a tambourine. You may have somebody beating one drum. I'm just telling you, you know. You know, now, when I was a real little boy, I don't remember what they call it. I think it was a washboard. Yeah. And, you know, whatever you needed to give you just a little beat, you got it. And so, you know, all these fancy songs we got, which I love, you got it. But back in those days, you know, somebody, we'd just be sitting around not just saying nothing. And all of a sudden somebody, "What do you know about Jesus? He's all right." You got it. And then we'd get it. Even if the pitch wasn't right, we'd find it. We'd start off wrong, but we'd hear somebody that got it right. You got it. Yeah, that's how everybody sang. You know, because if you start off wrong, you know, if "In the name of Jesus" too high, you just keep singing it till you had it. "In the name of," "In the name of Jesus, we have the victory." You got, you know, and that's how we did it. All right. All right. Anyway, that's just a sidebar. It won't cost you no more. Verse 7, "But he is the light. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Watch this. This is good. All right. Let's go back to verse 6. I want you to see this whole thing. Because remember, when the writer's writing, he's writing a letter. He's not breaking it down, right? So it's not necessarily pauses. So let's just read it how Paul wrote it. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, who is the light, brought the glory of God. That's what he's telling me, right? And he says now that this belongs to us. He says, "But we have this treasure." So this light and this glory is a treasure. You got it? What do you do with a treasure? You don't just throw a treasure off to the side, right? If something is a treasure to you, you keep it in a safe place, right? So he says, "But we have this treasure, watch now, in earthen vessels." What's the treasure? His anointing, his power, and his word, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So we are walking in this light, and we've got this glory on us, which is going to cause us to triumph in Christ. That's what this lesson is saying. We have the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He has brought forth the glory of who God is. The Bible says that we have this. And watch this. And that is why when Paul goes to verse 8, he says, "Because you have this light and you have this glory," he said, "we might be troubled on every side, but we're not distressed." He says, "We are perplexed, but we're not in despair." He says, "We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast out, but we're not destroyed. So I might be down, but I am not out, because I have the light of the world and the glory of God. You got it? That is, watch this, on the inside of me, and I'm treasuring this. And anytime I step out, even in a tough situation, it's not based on my anointing, but his anointing. Not based on my power, but his power. Not based on my word, but his word. And that is why I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. That young man just gave you something good right there. Y'all get that? All right. So quit trying to do it on your own. Right? So when I set my will to win, I understand that I'm not winning on my own. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I've got his anointing, his power, and his word that rests in me. So that's why if you're in a frustrating moment where you don't feel anything, it don't matter about what you feel. The Bible says that you have the light on the inside of you. You have the glory factor on the inside of you, because the moment that you got saved and gave your life to Jesus, watch this, when you received him, you received all of who he is and all of who he has, everything he has. So he is our joy. He is our peace. He is our strength. He is our contentment. He is our goodness. You got what I'm saying? So he's our everything. So the writer says that there is pressure, but there is no stress. So everybody say pressure, yes. Stress, no. Yeah, stress is what causes something to break down. People say that everything has a stress point or a breaking point. You ever heard that before? But the scripture teaches us that when we function and operate according to the glory of God, that we can handle pressure without breaking. So there's an anointing in you that can rise up and cause you to function at another level to triumph over anything and finish whatever God told you to finish. Make sense? Yeah. Everybody say, I know I can. I know I can. Just whatever it is, I know I can. With the business, I know I can. In my finances, I know I can. With my children, I know I can. With school, I know I can. Just like in every situation, I know I can. Doesn't matter if I've lost, I know I can. I can get back to where I was, and I can excel from there. I know I can, because I've got the light of the world that's on the inside of me. I've got the glory factor. I've got his anointing. I've got his word. I've got his power that is already resting on me, and it's not based on what I feel. It's based on what I believe, and I believe it's on the inside of me, and I believe that right now God is helping me. I believe right now there's some things that are happening in the spirit realm that I have not yet seen manifest in the natural, but I believe that they're on the way. Does that make sense? Like, I know that there's some supernatural things happening for this ministry that we have not even seen yet. There's some supernatural things that are taking place in our lives, because there's some things that you prayed for. There's some things that you believed for. There's some things that you fasted for. There's some things that you've given for. And there's some things that are happening in the spirit realm that is just a matter of time that is going to manifest in the natural. Does that make sense? And so I'm not moved by, watch this, what I see or what I don't see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe this word. I believe that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So when I say what his word says, angels go on assignment to speedily bring forth the will of God to my life. Does that make sense? You got it? So no matter how I feel in my body, I believe that I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. It don't matter how I feel, it matters what I believe. And you got to have a discipline to believe what the word says regardless. All right, so I know I stayed on that a long time, but I needed you to get it. You got it? All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Let's kind of push this glory factor just a little bit more, and then this is really my introduction, then I'm going to get into my lesson. I know I stayed there a while, but I needed you to get it. All right, because when you get in a tough spot, I need Holy Spirit to remind you that his anointing, his word, and his power is resting in you. That the light of Jesus is already on the inside of you. All right? 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, are you there? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are what?
Changed.
So the glory would change me. All right? His anointing, his word, and his power would change me. Knowledge of the glory is what the Bible says. So knowledge of the fact that his word, his anointing, and his power would change me. So he says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to what? Glory. Even, watch this, as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's God that does this. You got it. So it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. So when we look at the Word of God and we get an understanding of His power, of His anointing, and of His Word that is at rest in us, the Bible says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, let me help you understand this glory to glory. You've heard people say that it's going to get worse before it gets better. You ever heard that? Not for us. We're kingdom people. So I don't believe that it's going to get worse before it gets better, because the Bible says that I go from glory to glory. So you got to ask yourself the question, what report are you going to believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. So I go from glory to glory, from blessings to blessings, from increase to increase, from favor to favor, because His Word, His anointing, and His power is at rest on the inside of me to help me do what I cannot do. Does that make sense? All right. So you got to learn how to process reports. Let me talk about reports. You ever got a bad report from somebody? Yep. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's a report from the doctor, whether a family member told you something, and you have to learn how to process reports, all right? I don't want to get too far and get off my lesson, but what happens is when you're in a tough time, a challenging time, an emotional time, or you get a bad report, in that very moment, you have to learn how to process the pressure of the moment. That even though it's taking you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what He's going to do. You hear this, young preacher? All right? So you have to, at that moment, watch this, when your mind is running and all this stuff is going, you got to learn how to slow it down and process the pressure of the moment. So yes, there's some pressure, but I'm not about to let this thing stress me out. And so even though, yes, this has taken me by surprise, it has not taken God by surprise, and God already knows what He's going to do. So what I do is, even though it's a bad report, an emotional moment, something that took me by surprise, I've got to make sure that I say what God's Word says. Because the thing that I allow to come out of my mouth the next next moment is so pivotal and so important. That is why you have to have the Word in you before you get to that moment. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The Bible says anything that's not faith is sin. Isn't that right? Yeah. So for the believer, for me, when I'm not speaking faith-filled words and I start speaking words of doubt and unbelief, that's sin for me. Because anything that's not faith is sin. Y'all getting this? All right, so you got to process the pressure of the moment. Why, Pastor, is that so important? Because at that very moment, when you're going through something and you're emotional, the enemy is about to work overtime to shoot what's called the fiery darts of the wicked one. These are all these mental thoughts that he's trying to throw at your mind. It's not going to work. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. Your marriage is going to fall apart. You're going to have to go through bankruptcy. Just all these things. And watch this. And whatever is already on the inside of you, watch this, it already has preeminence, all right? That is why if you've been given the wrong information over the course of your life and people have spoken negative into your life, you got it, you're stupid, you're good for nothing, you're dumb, you're never going to make it. You understand what I'm saying? And those kind of things, what you don't realize is initially that is a stronghold that is holding you back. And that is why you have to replace it with what the Word of God says. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in His image and in His likeness. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm the object of God's affection, right? You are replacing it. So watch this. So whatever is in there, when the pressure of the moment comes, whatever's in there first is going to have preeminence in my life. So if the Word is there, the first thing I open my mouth is come back with the Word. But if negativity is in there and I have not yet replaced negativity with the Word of God, guess what's going to come out? Negativity. You got it? Now, if you're a cussing Christian and cussing is on the inside, guess what comes out? Y'all know this, young preacher's telling you the truth. And how many of Christians ain't supposed to cuss? Evil communication corrupt good manners. Isn't that right? Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So you got, oh Jesus, you got to get this. See, oh man, I'm going, there's so many things. Your mind is the battleground. you win in your mind. Okay? I'm just telling you. Because, watch this, your spirit is already winning because your spirit is saved. You understand? It's the soulish part of us that we have to renew and regenerate and get it working the way it's supposed to work. So our mind is the battleground as the case may be. Our mind is the battleground where we decide whether we are going to or are not going to believe. You got it? And there again, how does it make its decision based on the information that you have? So if you have the wrong information, you got to keep putting the right information on the inside. You just got to keep doing that. If you deal with depression, if you deal with thoughts of you not being good enough or anything that has to deal with inferiority and all that, it probably is based on something that happened to you. You got it long time ago, or it could be even something that recently is happening. It could be something that's happening to you right now. So what happens is, if you're still in a moment, hopefully it's done, but if you're in a moment where you're getting those negative things coming at you from somebody, then you have got to work overtime to get the word of God to combat those negative things that are coming at you. Does that make sense? And that's why you got to listen to the word over and over and over and over and over. Does that make sense? Yeah. Look, even when you don't feel like listening to the word, just let it play while you're driving down the road. Just let it play in the house. You understand what I'm saying? Even if it's just turned down a little bit and it's not the loudest thing in the house, because what you don't understand is the word is an incorruptible seed and it's feeding your spirit. Does that make sense? You got it. When if you're in a faith fight for health or something like that, let the word play at nighttime. You got it. So you're asleep at night and the word's playing. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense because I'm asleep. Your soul is asleep, but your spirit is alive. Does that make sense? And so what happens is you have to feed your spirit. And the word of God is an incorruptible seed, and you have to make sure that your spirit stays strong. Am I making any sense? All right, so you have to learn. I went all around the elbow to get to the thumb, like my grandma would tell me, all right? I tell her long story. She said, you went all around, way around the elbow to get to the thumb. But it was important. You must learn to process reports, and how you process the reports that you hear determine the strength of your faith. All right, so let's talk about this for a minute. It's all in line with what I've been teaching you. So you got to learn to process reports. I'm a firm believer when a whole bunch of crazy stuff's going on that if I have to, I'll take a quick time out. You understand what I'm saying? Just to think clearly, calm myself down, count to 10, just whatever it is that works for you. Why? Because I need at this moment the Holy Spirit to be the loudest voice in my life. And so everybody's talking, all that. I say, hey, y'all, hold on for a minute. I go get somewhere by myself. Even if I can only go away for 2 minutes, I'm going to calm all the other voices so the Holy Spirit can be the loudest voice in my life. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me right now. And then when I do that, I give him free course. And the moment that I give him free course, he begins to remind me, you got it, of just whatever it is, you got it. Even though it's taking you by surprise, it's not taken by surprise, God by surprise. God already knows what he can do. Yeah, it's tough, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because why? The word is coming at me. The word is coming at me. And so now it's helping me to process the pressure of the moment. So in here is all these questions. In here, frustration's trying to show up. In here, aggravation is trying to show up. You understand what I'm saying? But if the word is on the inside of me, whatever is in me is ultimately going to come up out of me. Does that make sense? All right. So you must learn to process reports, and how you process the reports that you hear will determine the strength of your faith, thus determining what you will or will not be capable of accomplishing in the earth realm. All right. Let me give you the goal. I've given this to you before, but let me tell you this is what you do. Philippians 4 and 8. All right, what's the first two words? All right, what's the first word?
Finally.
All right, say it like you mean it, like,
finally.
Like you've been waiting, you done, you've been in this faith fight, and you've been waiting for the manifestation. You've been praying. You've been sowing your seed. You've been talking to God. It seems like the devil has been tripping you up, but you're like, I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I. But 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by, and then all of a sudden, breakthrough comes through. Finally. Let me give you another. You done told them children to take the trash out 2 hours ago. Yeah. And you look outside and the trash can is finally at the end of the row. I think that when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he said, I've said a whole lot of stuff, but finally, my brethren, I need to make sure that if you don't get anything, and I need you to get all of it, that you get this. He says, whatsoever things are, oh, come on, class. Whatsoever things are, 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 whatsoever things are of a, he says, if there be any, if there be any, do what? Think on these things. So he says, if you get a report from the doctor, and it's, watch this, and it's not true, not honest, not just, not pure, not lovely, not of a good report, if it has no virtue or no praise, don't think on it. You got it? If people have changed their mind about you and have lied on you and have caused you to miss a promotion or to lose a job or to lose an apartment because something crazy, somebody lied, and said, he says, if it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not of a good report, if there's no virtue or praise, don't think about it. But God, that's not right. They did me wrong. I lost my job. But I am he that hath the key of David, that opened the door and no man shut it, that shut up the door and no man opened. I can open a big door that can't nobody shut if you just do it my way. So my thing is, with reports, you got to learn how to process reports. I believe the report of the Lord. So even if a door closes, I'm not going to fall apart over a closed door, because he is the door. If he's got to create a door, if he's got to make a way, you understand? If he's got to take this person out of position and put another person in position to cause his favor to show up in my life, God will do what he's got to do, because you are his child. He loves you. He's not going, watch this, he's not going to let you down. He's not going to break your heart. You got it? He's not going to leave you by yourself. So you got to know God will do whatever it is that he's got to do to make sure that you're okay. So when my wife talks to me about something, I say, I ain't thinking about it. She's like, you ain't thinking? Nope. Why? It ain't lovely. It ain't true. It's not honest. It's not of a good report. I ain't worrying about it. You got it? I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just not. You know, years ago, my brother's like, man, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, what? He's like, man, people lie when you talk about you. You just go on down the road like it's no big deal. It's not lovely. It certainly ain't true. It certainly ain't honest. It certainly is not of a good report. It's not anything praiseworthy or of virtue, so I ain't going to think on it. Does that make sense? See, the problem is you want to fight your battles instead of letting God fight your battles. And you got to learn, I'm going to let God fight my battle. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of God. I'm not going to fight back. I'm not going to clap back. I'm not going to fuss you out. I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to do any of those things. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to stand still. I'm not even going to wish you harm. I'm going to pray for you. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? No, because I understand that God will allow you to live long enough to see me prosper. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when people do you wrong, call them enemies, whatever you want to call them, don't start wishing all this bad stuff on them. Why? Because God doesn't want you to wish bad stuff on them. Don't get me wrong. They're going to reap what they sow. But you don't have to, you know, wish anything, because God is not in it for the hurt and the harm of others, because we serve a merciful God. You got it? But he will allow them to live long enough to see you prosper. He will allow them to live long enough to see you on top, because the ones that counted you out couldn't count. You got it? Yeah. That's a good place to clap right there. So I focus on the good report and not the bad. So faith doesn't deny the challenge that I'm going through. It just overlooks it based on truth. All right? So faith doesn't deny facts, but it overlooks facts based on truth. Because it might be a fact that you got a bad report from the doctor, but the truth of the word of God, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. But the truth of the word of God is, by the stripes of Jesus, you are already healed. So you got to make it up in your mind which report you're going to believe. You're going to believe the report of the doctor, or you're going to believe the report of the Lord. Make sense? All right. So I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing. Yeah, I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing. So now I've got to put forth this effort to establish my will so that my will can keep my behavior in check. All right. Oh, I got to help you on this. I gave you all of that information that I just gave you to give you something called belief. All right? So, because everything I just told you, some faith should have came alive in your heart. Right? And now I can believe, watch this, because I have knowledge. All right? So now that I've got some belief and I've got some faith, watch this, now I can set my will to win because I've got to understand it. Revelation, understanding of the word of God at my level of comprehension causes me to be courageous and live differently, right? What we said in the beginning. So now I must put forth the effort to establish my will so that I will keep my behavior in check, because God's not going to keep my behavior in check for me. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, God is not going to make you love people. You have to set your heart and your will to love people. God is not going to make you forgive people. You have to set your heart and your will to forgive people. Am I making any sense? Yeah, because that's not God's way. He wants us to do it once we get an understanding of his word, because, watch this, because we love him. Because he says, if you love me, what you going to do? You're going to keep my commandments. Right? So Paul is in prison. He gets an opportunity to go to King Agrippa, and he is in chains. And the first thing he says is, I make myself, or I think myself, happy. So I could come to King Agrippa being all upset because this is not right and they did me wrong. You understand? Because all I'm trying to do is preach the gospel and all this other thing. But he didn't come with the wrong attitude. He came with the right attitude. And in life, you can't show up with the wrong attitude. You got to show up with the right attitude, because your attitude is going to determine your altitude, because it's not just the spiritual part, but it's also the natural part working together to bring forth the will of God in your life. Does that make sense? Oh, Jesus. So you know what that means? You can't be having attitudes. I'm going to just look right here at this iPad. Yeah, you can't be having all them attitudes. Yeah. All right, praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to point number two. You can't be having all them attitudes. Now let me move to point number three. Oh, you can't be having all them attitudes. I'm just done. Point number four. You can't be having all them attitudes. No, because when I have an attitude, watch this now. Number one, I'm not a good witness for Jesus. And number two, I can't be in faith. There's no way I can be mad and in faith at the same time. You got it? And so when I notice that I have an attitude, I gotta give myself an attitude adjustment. I have to set my will to say, okay, this ain't gonna work. You got it? And so I have to make the adjustment. All right, let me give you these principles for guaranteeing change. Did y'all get this so far? Okay. All right, good. Okay, I'm doing good. Principles for guaranteeing change. Let me give this to you. Here we go, number one. Number one is the principle of faith. This one's easy. I've been talking about this the whole time. This is how we live. We walk by and not by, not by what? Not by sight or sense realm. All right? So it doesn't matter if I haven't received a call. You got it? It doesn't matter if the yes hadn't come through yet. Doesn't matter if I've not seen the change in the spouse or the change in the children or the change on the job. I'm not moved by that. I walk by faith and not by sight, not by sense realm. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. So if I show up on Tuesday and it hasn't changed, what do? I keep confessing what I've been confessing. If I show up on Wednesday and it hasn't changed, I keep confessing what I've been confessing. You got it? All right. So Romans 1:17, we talk about this one. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by. So I live by faith. All right. So that's number one, principle of faith. All right. Number two, principle of affirmation. The principle of affirmation. I am going to have what I say. It's a law. All right. I'm going to have what I say. Too many times we wait on people to speak into our lives, and there's nothing wrong with people speaking into our lives, but how many know we can declare the word of God, you know, on our own lives? Does that make sense? You got it. How many know you can prophesy to yourself? Isn't that right? Yeah. All right. So I've got to say what the word says. All right. this is, you know, when you was little and, you know, you, I'm going to use these, the words that we used to use when we was little kids, right? You know, you go ahead and get sassy with mom or grandmama if you want to. Am I right about it? Like, it's things that kids do nowadays that when we was kids, you don't do that. Y'all know what get sassy means, right? Yeah. And, you know, grandma ain't going to tell you too many times to watch your mouth, right? Yeah. You might get one time. And if you already got one earlier, you might not get another one. Isn't that right? Yeah, okay. All right. So just like, you know, you get in a situation like that and get sassy, and she says, you better watch your mouth. That's what we got to do when we get in tough times. We got to watch our mouth. We got to watch what comes out of our mouth. Does that make sense? Proverbs 18 and 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the fruit of his, with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the devil. Ain't in the power of the devil. The devil ain't making you say that. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12, 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. My words are going to make me. My words are going to break me. Everybody say, watch your mouth. Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered, said unto them, have what? Faith in God, or the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And here we go. Here's the big one. I can't doubt in my heart. So I can't just say it. I got to believe what I'm saying. And if I do that, the Bible said it's going to come to pass and I'm going to have whatsoever I say. All right? So I must watch my mouth. All right? So number one was what? The principle of faith. Right? Number two was the principle of affirmation. All right? Number three is the principle of dominant influence. The principle of dominant influence. This has to do with me being around people of like precious faith. I need to be around the right people and not the wrong people. Can I give you a news flash? If you hang around the wrong group of people long enough, you don't realize this, but you will become like that group of people. I'm telling you. It's the principle of dominant influence that people will affect you before you affect them. All right? It's easy to exercise when you get around people who like to exercise. Right? Some of y'all are like, I don't know, Pastor, but... It's easier anyways, all right? It's easy to keep a good marriage if you hang around people who like their spouse or love their spouse, I should say. Isn't that right? Yeah. It's easy to give when you hang around generous people, right? So it's the principle of dominant influence, and I need to hang around the right people and not the wrong people because evil communications corrupt good manners, right? So that is why I've got to hang around, watch this, I got to hang around the right people. And let me just tell you, in case you didn't know, if you hang around wrong people and then you come back around and start hanging around the right people can tell you've been hanging around the wrong people. Did y'all hear what I said? All right. You ever hung around somebody and you could tell they've been hanging around the wrong people? You ever, yeah, because you. How can you hear it? In their conversation, right? And let me tell you the best thing that you can do. When you hear it in their conversation, you have to have the strength of character to say, oh bro, what you talking about? No, we don't talk like that. No, we don't. We love our wives. You understand what I'm saying? We live for God. You understand? We walk by faith. Just whatever, the talking doubt, you know, just whatever it is. No, you got to combat that. You know, Pastor, I ain't want to get him upset. No. I'm going to risk you getting upset to tell you the truth because evidently you've been around some folk that you shouldn't have been around. You got it? And so now I got to pull you back in so you don't go, you got to induce something that you don't have any business doing and then later regretting what you did. Does that make sense? Yeah. Everybody say years ago. Years ago was this guy. He got around the wrong people, and these people, they like to flirt with other women even though they're married. That's danger zone, you know, right? And, you know, all in the name of just having fun. You got it? And so then, you know, came to me, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll be glad to talk to him. So, you know, talk to him and first denied it, and then after a while, I was like, well, you know, but we just having fun. I said, no, that's a dangerous trap. That's a dangerous trap. Why you need to do that? Flirt with your wife. And then the devil will give you every reason why you shouldn't flirt with your wife. You understand what I'm saying? Every reason. No, because she don't even understand. We've been fussing lately, and you know, it ain't 7 o'clock, and she wrap her head, you know, just that. Y'all laughing, but that's what the devil does. You know, she ain't thinking about me. I'm gonna get sick and tired. You know, ain't wore nothing sexy to bed. Yeah, I'm coming in some big old jogging pants. I don't want you to come to bed in no jogging pants. You know, because that's how the devil does. You got it? And y'all laughing, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. Right? Right? And so the thing about it is the enemy, see, because the enemy, he don't play fair. So he'll try to put all this stuff in your mind to make you think, you got it, you are justifying what you're doing, you know, on the other side. But there's never any reason to justify that stuff. Got it? So bottom line, didn't listen, lost his marriage. Yep. And then after he lost his marriage, he realized that he messed up. You got it? He was already divorced and wanted her back. You got it? But she had already moved on. And this is years ago. And then I had heard this. I don't even know it's a country song, y'all. I don't listen to country music. Not that anything's wrong with it. I'm not saying that I don't listen to country music, but this is a country song that I had heard. I was somewhere, and it said, "You don't know what you got till it's gone, baby." So everybody say, "Don't mess up."
Don't
mess up. You know, I tell my wife I love her all the time. I tell her, you know, we go out to lunch, and I just glance at her. That girl is fine. So I don't just let that be in my head. I tell her, you know, I tell her, I say, "Baby, I love you." I say, "Girl, you looking good right now." Like right now, you got it. I'll make her blush in front of everybody. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and you waitress come, "Can I help you?" "Oh, no, I'm flirting with my wife right now. Can you give us a few minutes?" I say, "Babe, don't do that." "Oh, she all right. She going to get a good tip. She don't care no ways." But then, you know, the waitress comes back later and says, "I wish I would see more people doing that." Does that make sense? So don't let the devil pick your pocket of a good life by trying to put you around the wrong crowd to do the wrong thing, because all he's trying to do is get you to fall off the cliff. Does that make sense? Oh, man. 7:57. Everybody say, "If you had time." If I had time, I would give you my last point, which is the principle of modeling. Not only do I have to be around people who believe like me, but I have to get around people who are already ahead of me. Because it is the order of God to teach and train us by example, that we follow those who through faith and patience have already obtained the promise. Paul said, "Those things that you have heard and seen in me, do those things." You got it? So as your pastor, watch this, you got to get this. There's a grace that is on me that is available to you to the degree that you honor me and you partner with me in this vision. Does that make sense? I can't get into partnership right now. One of the biggest ways to partner into this ministry is when you give into this ministry. Why is that the biggest way? Because the Bible says it's clear that where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So where your money, you can look at your checkbook and tell where your heart is. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'll give you 7:58. I'll give it to you real quick. Philippians 1:3, Paul writes to the church at Philippi. This was a thriving church. What kind of church?
Thriving.
Let me tell you why it was a thriving church. Because they gave consistently into his ministry, all right? He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." I wish I could break down that word fellowship. It means so much more. It has to do with giving and everything. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." See how he's writing, but he's declaring and prophesying into their lives, because there's a partnership that's taking place. There's a giving and a receiving. So they are giving natural things, but he is sowing spiritual things into their lives. Does that make sense? He says, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of all you," he said, "I've got you in my heart because you're my partner." He said, "Inasmuch both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel," he said, "ye all are what? Partakers of." Do we not have that? Oh, okay. All right. "You all are partakers of my grace." Partakers of what? So Paul says, same grace on me belongs to you because you partner with me. All right. I want to keep going. Remember, this is a letter, right? It's not verses, right? So it's a long letter. So I'm going to go down a little further in the letter to Philippians 4:15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, know what? No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. He's talking about how they continue to sow into his ministry so he could do what he had to do, but ye only. He said, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. You gave and you kept on giving. Watch this. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, I abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He says, hey, I'm in good shape because you guys sacrificed and you sent and you made sure I was good. I'm good. I'm able to travel. I'm able to plant churches. That's basically what the letters were. Okay, I'm able to do all that. And then watch what he declares on their life because they partner. Not only are you a partaker of my grace, but in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus because you have partnered with me. All right? This was something I learned years ago. I must teach the members of this church to give. I must teach the members of this church to give. Why? Because if I teach you to give, you will thrive like the church at Philippi. If I don't teach you to give, you will become inferior like the church at Corinth. All right? The church at Corinth was selfish. The church at Corinth had a bunch. I mean, if you study it, they had a lot. So it wasn't like, well, you know, Pastor, we can't give. No, no, they had a lot, but they were caught up in idols and things that they just didn't need to be caught up in, and they were just, you know, kind of stingy. And so watch what 2 Corinthians 12 and 13 says. Paul is like most pastors. I ain't going to put no pressure on you. If you don't want to give, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to just leave you alone. Right? You got it? Well, watch what but he sees how he made a mistake because he sees these other churches thriving and he sees how this church is inferior even though, but you had stuff. So how can you have but then lose? So in 2 Corinthians 12 and 13, he says, in what respect? Oh, it's 8:02. I got to go. Y'all got 2 minutes? For in what respect were you put to a disadvantage in comparison with the rest of the churches? He's not trying to compare them. He said, but when I stopped and I looked, he's like, how is Philippi flourishing and y'all aren't flourishing? Because I gave y'all both the same word, spent the same time with y'all. He says, unless it was for the fact that I myself did not burden you with my financial support. He says, pardon me for doing you this injustice. In the KJV, he says, forgive me this wrong. So he writes and says, no, I've been not messing with y'all because I could tell y'all don't want me to mess with you. He said, no, that's wrong. It's my job to teach you. Now, after I teach you, it's up to you what you do from this point. But just so you know, that's why you're not thriving like the church at Philippi and some of these other churches that picked up after Philippi. That's why you're inferior, all right? So it's like this. If I split the church down the middle, and this side I teach to give, and this side I don't teach to give, not overnight, but over time, this side will thrive. This side will be like, man, God blessed me with this. Look what the Lord has done. I got a big check. You know, I got house I've been believing for. You got, and this side over here will say, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Does that make sense? Watch this. Because, watch this. If you don't learn to give, you're put at a disadvantage and you become inferior. And then you look over here and say, well, who do they think they are? You know, no. All they did was operate the principle of the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. So when you give, you move from being inferior to walking in the favor of God. It's 8:03. 2 Corinthians 9, that's why it says that when you give, I'm able to make all grace. Grace is the favor of God. It is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you prosper. He said, I'm able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things so you may abound to every good work. All right? And so, you know, why do I need favor? I need favor. Favor is for greater than me situations. Favor can do what man and money cannot do. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. So when I give, there's a lot, it puts me in covenant with God, and there's a lot of things I receive, but one thing I receive is the favor of God, and we all need the favor of God in our lives. So what I want you to do is set your will to give consistently and watch what God does in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah, we got this big giving day coming up. Y'all know Pastor, you know, I told you about it. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to teach a few lessons on it because faith come by. Right, so I'll probably teach maybe this Sunday, maybe this Sunday. I'll take a couple Sundays and teach on giving just because we need to learn. And we have a lot of new people coming that don't understand the principle of seed time and harvest. You know, but at the end of the day, I got to have a conviction that if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. I got to have a conviction that if this is what God tells me to sow, then this is what I got to sow. Does that make sense? That it's not about it's not about competition. You got it? It's not about who knows what I did or didn't know what I did. None of that matters. God knows what I did. And to the degree I obey God, and it's a sacrifice, it's going to set in motion the supernatural power of God. It's going to get God's attention and cause him to move in my life. And I need God to move in my life, not some of the time, but all the time. Does that make sense? Well, it's 8:05. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the house. Let's stand all over the building. Y'all get blessed on